And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for gathering us together in your name. We pray that you will bless us with your spirit. We pray that you will inspire us and enlighten our hearts and our minds as we hear your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. For those of you who keep track, this is one of those I am statements that Jesus makes. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. I heard a humorous story about bread, and believe it or not, it seems almost appropriate to begin this morning's message. It seems that a curmudgeonly older man went to the same diner for lunch every day. He always ordered the soup of the day because it was always served with bread. One day, the owner of the diner asked him, "How was your lunch?" And the man replied, "It was good, but you could give a little more bread. Two slices is not enough." And so the next day, when the man arrived for his usual lunch, the owner told the server to give him an extra slice of bread. And when the gentleman was paying his tab, the owner said, "So, how was your lunch today?" And the man replied, "It was good, but you could give a little more bread." The next day, he comes for lunch again. The owner is determined that he will get a satisfactory reply from the man, so he tells the server to give him four slices of bread. And again, as he was leaving, the owner inquired about his lunch. And the man said, "It was good, but you could give a little more bread." The owner of the diner was now on a mission. He had become obsessed with getting a satisfied reply from this man who came to his diner every day. So he went to a nearby bakery and purchased a large loaf of uncut bread. He was ready for the next lunch encounter with this man. When he came for his daily bowl of soup, the owner had the server cut the loaf of bread in half and place half of the loaf on one side of his bowl of soup and the other half of the loaf on the other side. This surely would get a gleeful reaction of gratitude from the man, maybe even a chuckle, the owner thought. So when he came to pay his tab, the owner smugly looked at him and said, "So, how was your lunch today?" And the man said, "It was good, as usual, but I see you're back to serving only 2 slices of bread." Well, how typical it is that we are never satisfied with the amount of bread that we have. In our lives, the word bread has become a metaphor for both food and money. If it is a metaphor for food, we will be hungry again. And if it is a metaphor for money, it seems that human nature is always to want more. As with so many things, more is not enough. So let's now think for a moment on how many significant theological events in the Bible revolve around the subject of bread. One of the most important events in the Old Testament, of course, is the Exodus, the trip from Egypt to the Promised Land. And we know what caused the Hebrew people to be in Egypt in the first place. It was for their want of bread, if you recall. The wheat crop had failed due to drought, and the Hebrews had migrated to the land of the Pharaoh because there was a surplus of grain in storage there. It was the search for bread, if you will, that started this whole chain of events. And later, when the Jews were on their way to the Promised Land and they were facing starvation in the bleak wilderness, God rained down bread from heaven in the form of manna. When Jesus began his ministry, he fasted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan tempted a hungry Jesus by saying, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus rejected Satan by quoting from Deuteronomy, saying, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray, he began with, "Our Father who art in heaven," and he petitioned God to give us this day our daily bread. And of course, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus gathered his disciples together for one last supper, where he gave them hope for the future by taking bread, breaking it, and saying, "This is my body given for you." We simply cannot escape the significance of bread in our faith journey. Our passage today from the Gospel of John takes place the day after Jesus had fed 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 small fish. The crowds ate and had their fill, but now they wanted more. Today they were hungry again, and they were not focused on the miracle that had occurred the day before. The people continue to indicate their own misunderstanding of what is happening in front of their eyes. They have not truly seen the sign that Jesus did in feeding the multitude, but now they ask for a sign. They apparently want a sign from the old days repeated. They remember the story of Moses and the manna. They are looking to the past, failing to see that the Father is doing something astonishingly new right in front of them. The true giver is not Moses, but God the Father. The true giving was not in the past, but in the present. And the true bread was not the manna, but is the bread of God that has now come to walk among them in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." This is another one of the "I am" statements from Jesus. Just as Yahweh, the Lord God, had said to Moses, "I am," Now Jesus is proclaiming his divinity as God the Son by saying, I am the bread of life. By relationship with him, people then and now have the opportunity to never hunger again, to never hunger for the love of God, and to never hunger for the peace that passes all understanding. Friends, this peace and fulfillment does not come by only having knowledge of Jesus and what he did for the people in Bible times. It comes from having a relationship with Jesus today. It comes from relying on Jesus to be the bread of our lives. Such a relationship takes effort and commitment, and it means being in love with the great I am. What good is it, Jesus seems to be saying, if your stomachs are full, but you have no relationship with the provider of the feast? There's no point feeding our bodies if our souls are left to starve. Today, we prepare a table for a feast. The feast seems small by our human standards. It consists of a tiny piece of bread and a small sip of juice. Early on in the church, they gathered for a banquet where people fought for the chance to get the early seating so that they could be sure to fill their stomachs. And then at a certain point in our history as a church, we decided that those banquets, rather than pointing towards God, were actually turning people's focus in the wrong direction. And so now we celebrate with a bite of bread and a sip of the fruit of the vine. It's a small meal, a symbolic meal, yet one so full of relationship with Christ that each of us should be able to call it a feast for our soul. Yes, on that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples, when he knew even one of them would betray him for money, he offered them the bread of life that we are offered today. He offered them hope for eternal life, a life in the kingdom of God, both as it exists here on earth as well as in heaven, if only they would believe in him. Jesus was looking for relationship, a relationship built on love and trust. His disciples were with him on that night so many years ago, but we are with him today. The message is still the same. It is the message for eternity, and it was first told to a group who were hungry for more than food. They were hungry for a relationship that would bring them satisfaction for their souls. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come, let us feast at the table of the Lord, and let us feast with joy in his name. Amen.
Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that has been prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom, you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of the love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life, so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours, now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Almighty Father, we pray that you will bless these your gifts of bread and the cup. And we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon those of us who seek to serve you. We pray that you will enlighten us and that you will inspire us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So Lord, we thank you now. We praise you for this feast that you have put before us. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord. All who believe are welcome. Let us feast at the table.
Thank you.
Let us pray to the Lord. Merciful God, you call us to goodness and lead us on right paths. You encourage us with signs of your coming and urge us to keep watch that we might greet you with heads raised high when you come to restore all of creation. Watching and waiting, we pray for this world that needs your saving power. In your mercy, Lord, we pray for nations at war, for all who suffer from violence, for those who are sick or who have fear of the future, for those who are lonely, for all those who have lost hope or who never had hope at all, and for those who have never heard of your saving grace, your love, and your compassion, Lord, we lift them to you now. Lord, we lift up to you this morning Janet Allen Chin, Betty Gutgood, Kim Huerta, Martin Dean Hilton. We lift to you Susie Vest. We lift to you Vestal Whitlock. We lift to you the family of Mark Femrite. And Lord, we ask a special prayer now for Sherry as she experiences yet another grief in her life. Lord, we thank you for the way that you bless us. We do pray, Lord, that you will be with Susie as she is in the hospital, even at her advanced age. She shows us the way to live a joyful and vibrant life. And we pray, Lord, that this is merely a small hiccup in her life. We pray, Lord, for your healing power to be with Susie this day. So, Lord, we pray, too, for your church. We pray for your church in this world, that we may increase in strength for you and your children, and that we may work in confidence for your coming reign. And now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make us ever more faithful, that we may greet you in confidence and joy on that great day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we pray the prayer that he taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.